Genesis 4. We're going to pick things up. We're going to basically end up getting an overview of the whole chapter, but we're just going to read verses 3 through 5 right now. So look at that with me. It says, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are so thankful to come back to this new series that we just started last week, to come back together after the start of a new week, and to just be refreshed by one another, be refreshed by your word, and be encouraged through worship and through fellowship and through whatever else you have for us this evening. We pray that you would speak to us in a way that only you can as we study your word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can receive what is beyond our own understanding. And we pray that you would, Lord, that you would just fall afresh on us. We want to, we want our faith to be founded upon you, but we want it to be so deep, Lord, and so mighty. So grow us in you, we pray, and use this evening, every aspect of it, to do that. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. So last Wednesday, we started a new series looking at each person that is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is sometimes called the Hall of Faith. Some of you have probably heard that. And it's called the Hall of Faith because it's filled with men and women in the Old Testament who took huge steps of faith. So what we're calling this series is catalysts. Does anybody know what a catalyst is? If you remember from last week, or if you're a science nerd. Oh, a catalyst is... Somebody. No, nobody. Oh, amorous. Yes. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. She had both definitions. Yeah, so scientifically, a catalyst is something that's going to speed up the reaction of something. Your saliva is a catalyst. That's why you can get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop. But another definition of the word catalyst is a person that sparks a movement. Like they're the person that got this movement running. They inspired these people, or they've inspired people for generations to come. And the men and women in Hebrews chapter 11, they are catalysts. Hence the name, catalyst. But through faith, they were used by God to start huge things or keep very important things continued, even when everyone else in the culture was against whatever that important thing was. And we need to be catalysts. You guys, young Christian junior hires, you need to be catalysts in this world that you are living in. I need to be a catalyst. Our leaders, we need to be catalysts in your lives and in our lives and in the lives of this whole world around us. And I believe that this can start, us becoming catalysts, that this can start with us checking out each person of faith in this chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, and each act that, or multiple acts that they committed of faith, filled with faith. So much faith. Somebody say faith. Faith, faith, faith. Faith, faith, faith.
Faith, faith, faith.
No, no, no. I'm not Ben Corson. I can't. I won't do that. But tonight, we arrive at the first catalyst that is mentioned. It's not the first time that by faith is mentioned, because one is by faith, we can believe in God, that he's the creator. But the second is by faith, and it's a new person. Read along with me on the screen. It says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks." So our first catalyst is Abel. And I promise to the best of my abilities, I'm not going
to
make any puns as long as I am
just
Abel.
Made a pun.
That's the last one. The only one, I promise. I pinky promise, hopefully. No, no, no. No more Abel puns. Get them all out. Everybody get your Abel puns out. Am I able? Are we able? Cain would have really made it if only he was able. Okay, we're done. We got it all.
Are you done? Are you done?
Yeah, I think we got it. Yeah, I know. That's why I had to do this, because I would have just... every other note would have been a pun. So, what I want to focus on tonight is why Abel's offering was more excellent than Cain's. This is kind of a tough question. Why was his offering more excellent than Cain's? And then exactly what Abel's act of faith was. What puts Abel the first catalyst? What makes him the first catalyst mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11? And then what can we learn from him? But before we do that, we got to get the full picture of what's happening at this point in human history. We need an overview of what goes on in this specific account. So hopefully you still have your Bible open. Let's look at Genesis 4, starting in verse 1, and break down what goes on here. It opens up with the birth of Cain. Now, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, "I have acquired a man from the Lord." Here's what's interesting. Many theologians think that Eve actually believed that she was holding the Messiah in her arms, which, I mean, she's just a few thousand years off, or give or take. But she believed, saying that "I have acquired," calling him "I have acquired," the acquired one, she believed that this was the savior of the fallen world, even though they were the first generation of the fall. And so this is why she calls him Cain, the acquired son. Abel, he's the younger brother. In verse 2, we're told, then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep. Almost did a pun, but I'm not going to. Stopped it. I caught it. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. So Cain was a gardener, farmer, a plant man, plant whisperer. And Abel was a shepherd. He raised sheep. And in this verse, or the passages that we opened with, that's where we see both of them bringing an offering to God. Cain gives an offering of fruit to the Lord, a nice little fruit basket. Abel gives prime cuts of his firstborn sheep. We're talking about like the best of the best, like all the marbling, all the fat. Finger looking good. You know what I'm saying? We're told... I'm not going to do it again. We are told that God respected Abel and he respected his offering. But he did not, verse 5, he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain got super duper mad and his countenance fell. Now, God sees that Cain is so mad. And so God speaks to Cain in verse 6. He says, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fell? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." So God is like, "Cain, why are you so mad, dude? Don't you see that if you bring an offering in the same way that Abel brought an offering, that it will be accepted and that you will be respected?" But Cain continues to let his anger fester. He goes and takes his brother for a walk into the wilderness. Watch out for those wilderness walks. Takes him to the middle of nowhere, and he murders him, kills him in cold blood. Now God, once again, he's super gracious. He gives Cain an opportunity to confess and repent of his sin. God says, so graciously, God knew the answer to this, but he asks Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" And Cain lies to God and says, "Why should I know? Am I my brother's keeper?" And long story short, Cain is cursed. He's no longer able to successfully grow. No! Accidental. But he no longer has the ability to grow plants as successfully as he did before this. And he's essentially banished. And he's given a mark by God just to keep other people from killing him. Now, we don't know what that mark is. There's a lot of weird doctrines about what that mark could be. Honestly, we need to just agree that we don't know what that mark is. And we can't make any decisions based on that mark. So don't worry about it. Adam and Eve, you know, Cain splits. He goes off to a place called Nod. And Adam and Eve, they have another son named Seth, and the history continues. So since we have a pretty good idea of what happens here in this account, this historical account, this is real, it's legit, it very much happened. There's a couple of things that I want to look at in more depth, and these are where like the nuggets of gold come out. So first thing I want to look at are the offerings. Oh my goodness, where's that?
What?
Wait,
is it not up there?
Oh, I don't know. It's on the screen, but it's not. Can you maybe double click it?
You're not able to get it.
I'm not able. Okay, there it is. That's weird. So, first thing we're going to look at are the offerings. What's the big deal about the offerings? Why is one great? Why is one not so great? Pretty bad. Second, we're going to look at Abel's faith. What puts him in the hall of faith, as so many people call it? What makes him a catalyst? Because he's able. He's able to be there. I didn't do that. That was Jared. Just saying. I'm telling you. I woke up today and I said, I'm not going to make too many puns, even though this is the dream. It's the pun dream, but I'm not going to do it. Okay. So, first point, the offerings. We need to ask the question, why is Abel's offering more excellent, as it's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11? Why is it more respected and Cain's is not? We need to figure out why. And there's really two perspectives to answer this. They're quite different, but I really wouldn't say that one is directly correct or wrong. They're just different ways of interpreting this passage. The first view is that God had told them ahead of time what a respectable offering is. So, though it's not mentioned directly in the passage, maybe God told the people at that time, they were just one big family at that time, told them what he expects in an offering, what he expects it to be, the form he expects it to take. Or maybe when God killed an animal to clothe Adam and Eve, do you guys remember that? Adam and Eve sinned, and then he kills an animal to like place the sacrifice of the sin on it so that they can also be clothed to cover their shame. So maybe when God did that, he later on said that this is what he expects an offering to look like. So this view would say that since they knew what to offer God, that Cain was wrong because he simply didn't do it. And that Abel was right because he did it. That's very simple. You guys tracing that logic? Yeah? Yeah, since God laid out the format, Cain was wrong because he didn't do it. Abel was right because he did do it. The second view, though, is different. This view is that God did not tell them ahead of time what a respectful offering looks like. Instead, it was not so much what the contents of the offering was that mattered to God, but it was more how the offering was given that mattered to God. So Abel's offering was respected by God because it was able to get... Oh, goodness. Oh, no. It's inescapable. So Abel's offering was respected by God because he had the ability to give of his sheep in a way that pleased God. He was able to give in a way that pleased God. But Cain did not give his offering in a way that pleased God, so it was not respected by God. Now tonight we're going to stick with the second view. The second view is that God didn't tell them ahead of time and that... that God was more focused not on what the contents of the offering was, but more how the offering was given and what manner it was given. And here's the main reason why we're going to stick with this view, is because Cain is given a second chance to give a respectful offering. Verse 7 says, "If you do well, will it not be accepted?" So it seems to me that Cain knew that, let me think of how to explain this. So, if Cain knew what was right, then why would he need a second chance? Wouldn't he now just be in trouble because he's made a mistake, because he has disobeyed God? But God gives him a second chance to learn from this process that he is revealing to human nature. And so you would think that he would, instead of being given a second chance to learn from his mistake, that he would be disciplined and so able to grow from the discipline. You guys know what I'm saying? Yeah, no jokes, no more jokes. I promise that was the last joke. They're not, you guys are catching them. So if we take this view,
you're able to do that.
The question we have to ask is still, what is so special about Abel's sacrifice? And here's what I would say. The reason it's so special is, oh man, can you click that again? Double click that right there. I don't know why it's not showing up. Ah, yes. So the reason Abel's offering was respected by God is that Abel gave God the best. Look at the language that is used, if you have your Bible open, in verse 4 to describe Abel's offering. It says, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock. So Abel brings the first results of his hard work. A lot of time working and a lot of time guarding these sheep, he brings the first results of his hard work. And he brings their fat. Ooh. Back in those days, and even today, fat is a good thing. There's the whole movement of like, we like our beef lean. We don't want it to be too fat. It's baloney. Fat makes meat good. It's necessary to keep it juicy. Fat's a good thing, and it always has been that way. That's why prime meat is filled with fat. So God even gives the best parts of the lamb. He gives the best parts of the sheep to God. He gives him the best. He gives him the first, and he gives him the best. Now, Cain, here's the issue with Cain. Cain just gave God the rest. He just gave the rest to God. And here's what I mean. When you look at Cain's offering, we see no indication of him bringing his best. Verse 3 says, Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. We don't see him giving the first fruits. We don't see him bringing the biggest fruits or the prettiest fruits or the fruits that he was most excited about. I don't know. Do any like farmers? I'm so excited about that apple. I just want to eat it. I don't know. I've never like grown a fruit in my life. I don't think. Yeah, I know. I'm missing out. Wow. 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 I've never grown a fruit in my life.
That's kind of sad.
Not even an apple tree?
Existential crisis. Oh my goodness. Whoa. Oh my goodness, I've never grown a fruit in my life. Okay, how many of you have grown fruit in your life? Oh my goodness. Oh, you know what? I used to have fruit trees in my backyard, but we just let them go. Does that count? Does that, if you just let it go and fruit comes each year, does that count? I'm talking like, you know how some kids would like bring, like they would grow cucumber and like show and tell it growing up? Did that ever happen? I never did that. Okay, so if you're ever wondering what to get me for my birthday or my half birthday, yeah, get me some apple seeds. So here's the thing. It's not mentioned in scripture, but it's very possible that Cain has just gotten into a routine of giving God whatever was left over from the harvest to kind of just check it off the list. You know, we got it all in. Let's make sure we give God a little bit of this so that we can move forward. But Abel offers God the very first and the very best. And so this is what separates Abel's offering from Cain's offering. Abel brings the best to God at a time when no one else was doing it. The original OG hipster, literally, don't even try to challenge that. Abel was the first hipster. Yeah, don't worry about it. Don't overthink it. So our second point, what's the big deal about Abel's faith? Where does Abel's faith come into play on this? And we are told where his faith comes into play in Hebrews 11, the chapter that we're focusing on in this whole series, verse 4. We are told by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. That sounds so very obvious, but when you think of it, you kind of look at that and it's like, what? That was it? Like, that was the step? That was this is what put Abel on the map as a catalyst for his faith? He did the more excellent sacrifice. So to understand this, we have to kind of take a deep breath. Exhale, a little bit slower than you breathed in. Yeah, slow things down. To get this, to understand this, we have to put ourselves in Abel's shoes. And so imagine that you're Abel. No one had ever offered their best to God. No one had ever done this. Here you are, knowing that God desires the best, and no one in the fallen world history, which is a really short history at that time, no one had ever done that. So you, knowing that God desires the best, you bring your firstborn sheep to God. And on the way, your sisters, because that was the community at that time, your sisters are looking at you really weird, wondering why you're bringing the new sheep, the best sheep before God. Cain starts laughing at you because he thinks, like, what you're doing seems ridiculous. It seems dumb. Adam starts licking his lips, thinking this is dinner on the way. You get to the spot where you're going to offer it to the Lord. And you feel super weird. You feel super awkward because you've never worshiped God in such a meaningful and vulnerable way. You're like, I don't know what to do with my hands. Oh, it's weird. I'll pick up my phone. But you don't have a phone because it's right after the fall of Adam and Eve. It's a bum deal. Yes, Cameron.
Which one was older, Cain or Abel?
Cain was older.
No.
Don't.
No.
Don't do it.
Yes, I can do it.
But so here you are. Here you are, feeling super weird. You're that guy who's like bringing the best to God. Shh. Track with this. This is important. You're that guy in a really small community of people, really intimate. It's like everyone's family. Get it. And you are there bringing the best to the Lord, bringing something that's meaningful, bringing something vulnerable. You've worked so hard on this all year round. And then you come back to your family empty-handed because you even gave God the best cuts. You gave him the best parts. And everyone around you is confused. But it's undeniable that you have pleased God with the way that you have worshiped him. And God respects that offering. And God respects you for that offering. Abel had the faith to worship God in the way that he felt God truly deserved it. So here's what Abel is showing us tonight. That becoming a catalyst, becoming someone who's going to take huge steps of faith, starts with taking steps of faith in your personal relationship with God. That's where it starts. That's where this chapter starts. It starts with Abel taking a step in faith with his personal relationship with God. And so this is where it starts for us. And so I'm talking reading your Bible, even when it seems like no one else your age is reading their Bible. Lifting your hands in worship to God, even though you think your friends might think it's kind of weird that you're this involved in the worship set that's going on. Doing it anyway, taking that step of faith. Yeah, you could say it's small, but in the moment, it feels huge. Giving your time to serve God, even when there's so many other YouTube videos you could be watching, so many other games you could be playing, using your time to serve God. And the world is so in need of people who are taking huge steps of faith. As we go through this chapter, we're gonna see people who took huge steps of faith, putting their life and their reputation on the line culturally. But we cannot take those huge steps of faith if we are not faithful in taking the steps of faith that sometimes seem really small. But let me assure you that it is not small. Those steps of faith that are just between you and God, maybe no one even sees them, they are not small. Because God still speaks to us, even to this day, he still speaks to us through the example of Abel. And that was just a simple act of personal, intimate worship between God, where he said, no one around me is doing it. Everyone here is just caught in this routine of, you know, just giving a portion over to the Lord when the time comes. But I'm going to give God what he deserves. I'm going to give God the best, even when everyone else throughout history has yet to do it. So we need to start. I'm not even going to say small because it's not small, but we need to start between us and God. Taking those steps of faith, reading your Bible on a regular basis because you want to grow deeper in him. worshiping him and expressing that worship fully, choosing to stand before God when everyone else is going to sit down, because that is where your heart is currently, lifting your hands to the Lord because that expresses your surrender to God, even though the other people around you aren't doing it, giving God what he truly deserves from you in that moment. That is where we start. That is where this chapter starts. And so that's where it starts for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be your people, Lord, that you loved us first, that you've known us first, that you've known of our existence throughout all of eternity. Lord, and we are so blessed to be your people. But we want to be people that first realize that you deserve so much, that you deserve our best, you deserve the first fruits of everything that we work on in our lives. You deserve the glory for all that we do in our lives. You deserve most of our time. You deserve most of our mind. You deserve most of the words that we use and the way that we give praise to anything in this world. You deserve all of it, Lord. So we pray that we would first realize that, and then, Lord, that we would give you what you deserve in the way that you deserve it, that we would give you the best. We want to be Christians who are taking steps of faith every single day, choosing to read our Bible, choosing to worship you even in the privacy of our own heart when no one else is watching, choosing to give our time to you even when everyone else seems to be doing so many other cool things, choosing to give our time to you. So Lord, we pray that you would teach us to be faithful in these things that might seem small, knowing that this faithfulness will produce a greater faithfulness for those things that will seem huge at other points in our lives. We love you so much, Father. We give you the rest of this evening. We ask that you would have your way in every aspect of it. Be in our small groups, we pray. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. All of God's people said, don't leave yet because I want to go over the questions with you guys. All of God's people said, amen.